Oh, I'm so excited today. I know you are too, because we're going to finish up on the book of Hebrews. Pardon? Oh, really? Well, we are going to finish up Hebrews today, but there's plenty more good books after Hebrews. But when you're speaking to God, we spoke this morning to God, and sometimes it's called praying. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to be 300 words or more. In fact, what did Jesus actually say about lengthy prayers? In Matthew 6, he says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen people do. And he says they think that they're going to be heard because of their many words. The Lord hears prayers of few words. And as I was reading through the rest of Hebrews, Peter's prayer came to my mind, and how short it was. How many remember Peter's prayer? 3 words. And he yelled it out, Lord, save me. And as I recall, it was short. It was fervent, meaning it had emotion in it. And it was right to the point. He didn't beat around the bush and talk for 20 minutes and then say, save me. He was sinking in the water. And Jesus not only heard it, but instantly answered it. Right away, instantly. So today, when I read through the rest of Hebrews, I'm not going to read lengthy passages of Scripture. How's that? I know. Praise God, right? Short, to the point verses will do just fine. But I suggest that you follow along in your Bibles so that you get the full text and you don't miss anything. So here we are. Hebrews 13, is everybody already there? Who's not? You're there, Elisha? What? I'm teasing you. Grandpa's teasing you. Okay. I'm going to read verses 8. No, 7, 8, and 9. Okay, you ready? 7. Remember. All right, 8. Jesus is the same. 9. Do not be carried about. Short. You can laugh. To the point, but fervent, really. So now I'm going to go back and we're going to fill in some blanks. Did you get that all? Yeah. We're going to fill in the blanks. Verse 7, it says, remember. That's a great word. Remember. Whenever we celebrate the Lord's table, we remember. We remember Christ and everything that he did for us, so that we can have eternal life and not eternal death. We also remember his promise to us. He's promised to return and take us with him. And he's going to come back so fast, it's in the blink of an eye or the twinkling of an eye, and we shall never not ever not be with him. But in verse 7 scripture today, we are told to remember other things, other people. Remember those who rule over you is actually the wording in my Bible. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, we get hung up on words sometimes. So don't get hung up on that word rule, because that word is not an accurate choice for what is intended in the Greek. A much better rendering is to lead. Remember those who lead or who teach with an official authority. And that could be any one of you. You say, I don't have a... Yes, you do. You're a Christian. You believe. You open the Bible. You're speaking to a gentleman even like Lee. You have official authority to lead him to Christ. And so the Bible says, remember those people. Don't forget those that made a difference in your life. Maybe they read the gospel to you. It could have been a teacher, maybe, in school that inspired you so much and you got excited about learning their particular subject. It might have been your mother, your father, a friend. That because of their example in their life that they set, you raised the bar and set your standards high. Now, they may still be living or they may be deceased. Doesn't matter. Scripture says, remember them. Then 8 tells us Jesus is the same. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same for how long? Forever. He doesn't change. And that verse has to be read in the affirmation. Christ is always the same. What a thought. Our Redeemer is changelessness. He can't change. Not only he doesn't, he can't. It's not in his nature. He's forever the same in his deity nature. That doesn't change. In his humanity, he doesn't change. In his power to heal, to affect our lives, to call, he doesn't change. In his love, he doesn't change. He always loves us. Even when we don't love him, he loves us. And he doesn't change in his promises, which I am so glad of, because he rewards the faithful that are obedient to his word. He doesn't change in that. But he also doesn't change in that he will punish the sinful who depart from him. That's also a promise. Jesus in the Old Testament is the same as the Jesus in the New Testament. And he's the same in the body of Christ today. Forever. Now, I hope you really know what that means. Because he has raised up kings, and he has took down kings. Now, it's hard to believe or understand why, but he raised up Joe Biden to be president. He's got a reason for that. And he's going to raise up the next president, too. And he performs wonders. You read about him. He heals the sick. He gives sight to the blind. The lame walk. Do you believe Christ is the same today? He can do all that today. Won't you trust Him so that you can be healed? Give up your burdens to Him right now. Say it in your mind, Lord, I give you my burdens, all of them, because I want your joy, your joy. And then we read verse 9, don't be carried about. Don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines was the complete sentence. Sadly, this happens a whole lot in Christianity. Following Christ is simple. But yet I hear, I want something different. Something exciting. Something new in my religion. But what does the Apostle Paul say about that? In Galatians 1, 8, he warns us. He says, even if we, meaning he's talking about him and his team, if we or an angel from heaven comes down and preaches any other gospel to you that we have preached you, let him be accursed. In other words, don't believe him. There's only one gospel. And it was so important that he repeated it in verse 9 in Galatians again. If anyone preaches a different gospel than what we have told you, don't believe them. So why do so many people wander away from Christ? They simply don't want to hear the truth. And Paul prophesies that. He said that's going to happen. 2 Timothy 4. He told Timothy, he says, preach the word. And so the gospel and all of God's scripture applies to us. So he's telling us too today. Preach the word. Nothing else. And be ready to share the gospel all the time, anytime. Because the time's going to come. This is verse 3, Timothy 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but to their own desires because they have itching ears. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's happening today. Right now. And I thumbed through a little bit of research for this and replacement theology. It's not in the gospel. It's not the truth. That teaches that God is done with Israel. He's abandoning them. They're done and out. And the church has now replaced Israel. And they are now God's chosen people. That's not what Scripture says. We have kingdom now. Those that say, we're living in the kingdom age. We're living in when Jesus is in charge and ruling over evil. Look around you. Read the paper. We're not. The world's in horrible shape. You have the New Age movement. New Age. A lot of that they believe in healing with crystals and stuff like that. And doing seances. Paul says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. How many heard of NAR? N-A-R. I see questions. It's the New Apostolic Reformation. That's where the leaders of that church movement says they are apostles of Jesus. Just like Peter, James, and John, and all those 12. They are apostles. They have the same power those apostles have. They can heal the sick and give sight to the blind and raise the dead. And it's out there. And Paul says, don't go there. We have Jesus Christ, who sanctified us with his blood, suffering on Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem. And that's why 13 tells us to go to him outside the camp. And we shouldn't take that verse lightly. Go to Christ. Salvation's free. Joy is abundant for all of us. But we must go to him. Jesus, if you want to use a word for it, did his part. He fulfilled. He died on the cross for all our sins. And now he calls us. Come to me, he says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Do you want rest? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Go to him. And if you're thirsty, I don't mean for water, but if you're thirsty, Scripture says on the last day of that great feast that Jesus stood up and he cried, it said, cried out. That means he shouted. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he's not talking about H2O. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You can have it. He wants you to be blessed with the Holy Spirit. Just go to him. If we don't have Jesus, what do we have? Nothing. This city, this county, this country we're living in, it's all going to dissolve. Then what do you got? We are to look forward to the city that is built without hands. The city of God. The city of gold we sang about this morning. Because that city is going to last forever. Verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. May we offer sacrifices of praise to God always. Verse 15. You know what a tree is by its fruit. I mean, you can tell some by the bark, some by the leaves, but you know for sure when the fruit comes out what that tree is. We are to bear fruit. And there's two kinds of fruit in the Christian's life. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, verse 15. And the fruit of sharing and doing good, verse 16. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifice God is well pleased, it says. These sacrifices please God. He doesn't only require the fruit of our lips, but he requires the fruit of our lives. And we're all going to stand before him one day, and he's going to look at the book, and this is in Revelation, and the book of what we did, and we will receive crowns for that. Our gratitude to him is to be expressed in kindness to our fellow man. And all our sacrifices, the sacrifice of our lips and the sacrifice of doing good, should be offered up through Jesus Christ. Because he is the mediator between God and man. And there's no one else. And we offer these sacrifices through Christ because he represents God to us as accessible. No man has seen God at any time. But he has seen, he that has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. So we see Jesus through his word. As you read through God's word, he reveals himself to you, and you see him. He represents us to God. And it says he went to heaven, and he appears before the face of God to forever intercede for us. When's a good time to praise God? Morning or night? It says continually, all the time. You walk into your cup. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't stumble and fall on my face. Just to be a little funny. But we should praise him all the time, daily. It shouldn't be an occasional exercise. It should be a necessity of your soul to give praise to God. Scripture says what? In everything, give thanks. Now, I know that's pretty tough. Maybe when you have all your teeth pulled out, it's hard to say, praise God that I'm suffering all that pain right now. But that's okay. When I had shingles and I couldn't walk for a month or two, it was tough to praise God for all that pain I was getting. But he blessed me. When should we do good? Every single time the opportunity arises. Every single time that the Lord opens that door and there's an opportunity to do good, we should do it. We should not neglect any opportunity, small or large. Because one day it's all going to come to an end and you won't have another chance. Remember, everything that we do to others, the Lord regards as us doing it to him. I'm going to jump over to Matthew 25, because that's where it talks about that. And I'm not going to read it all. But Jesus is talking here, and he says, when I was hungry, you gave me some food, and when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And later on, he says, I was naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. And then someone asked him, says, when did we do this to you, Lord? And he answered and said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And when I was a stranger and you didn't take me in, and when I was sick and you didn't help me, when I was hungry and thirsty and you gave me nothing, you did that to me. Which is why the writer of Hebrews says, don't forget to do good and to share. A couple of verses closing out the chapter for today. I will read 17, obey. 18, pray. Again, it uses that word rule, but obey and pray for those who are the shepherds of the flock that have been appointed to read the gospel to you. Because they are held by the Lord to a higher standard. They are the ones that Satan tries to attack more strongly, more often, and the hardest. Because they're taking away lost souls from him. He doesn't like that. And if we do that, then there's a blessing. Verse 20. And that'll be my final reading for this morning. Verse 20 says, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.